Well, church, this morning our Bibles are pre-marked to Acts chapter number 17, Acts chapter number 17. But before we get to Acts chapter number 17, I just want to remind us once again, I want to keep reminding us once again until it begins to become rooted in our hearts as it relates to our theme. Our theme for this first 6 months of 2018, as you are well aware of now, is that we're looking to prepare the church for the next move of God. We're preparing the church for the next move of God. And we are, in fact, the church. When I talk about we are, in fact, the church, we're talking about the people that gather in this place, in the house of God, to worship. And we realize and understand that the church is, in fact, not the building. The church are, in fact, or the church is, in fact, the people. And so we're looking to prepare us for what God wants to do next. We're looking to prepare us for what God wants to do next, because there's some things that God wants to do, but God can only do what he wants to do through the church. And so what happens is that God wants to use each and every one of us. God wants to use each and every one of us. And as he wants to use each and every one of us, each and every one of us must be prepared to allow God to use us, to do what he has a desire to do as it relates to what is, in fact, coming up. The key is that we don't know what God's next move is, but we don't have to know what his next move is, and we don't have to know when it's going to come up. What he's telling us right now is to get prepared. He gives us information on a need-to-know basis, and the information that we know right now, he says, get prepared. He said that you don't know when and you don't know how, but I want to use you. But what I want you to do is to get prepared now, because when I show up, I want you to be ready. See, when I show up, I want you to be available. When I show up, I want you to be equipped. Because I want you to be able to be in a position where you can carry out my purpose. See, God wants us prepared for a specific purpose. He wants us prepared for a specific purpose. And so, therefore, church, I just want to remind us this morning that we're continuing in our series entitled Made for God's Purpose. Made for God's Purpose. And church, this is the thing about it, that God has a reason for everything that he does. God has a reason for everything that he does. God just does not do anything. Everything that God does, he does for a reason. Everything that God creates is there for a reason. Everything that God has made is the reason behind it. And so he has made us for his purposes. God has made us for his purpose. There's a reason, there's an intent that's in the heart and the mind of God as it relates to each and every one of us. And church, here's the thing. Until we know the purpose, until we know what that purpose is, until we accept who we are, we will not do what God has created us to do. Let me say that again. Let's put it this way. Until we know why we're here and we accept who we are, we will not be ready. We will not be available, and we will not be equipped for God's specific purpose. And so it's key for us that we know why we're here, that we understand why we're here, and that we settle that question in our hearts. And the key to this thing is that we have to deal with the why. We have to deal with the why, because, see, there's something about that question why. Why is an interrogatory. That's my English knowledge coming out, and that's about the extent of it. But see, why is an interrogatory, and so why is a question, and it's a question that has to be answered. And if we can go through life never have ever answered that question. And what happens if we try to go through life and never having answered that question and never have answered that question correctly, we will always remain unsettled and dissatisfied. We will always remain unsettled and unsatisfied because there's always that question there as it relates to why. And so therefore, church, we have to understand why we're here. We have to understand why God created us. There is, in fact, a purpose, and that there is, in fact, a reason, that there is, in fact, intent in the mind and the heart of God in each and every one of us. And I also want to submit to us, until we answer that question why, we're not going to accept who we are. We're not going to accept who we are. And I believe deep in my heart, see, many believers don't really know who they are. I'm going to begin to widen it up a little bit. It's not just the believers. I believe that man, I'm talking about the species man. There aren't many men and women that know who they are. They have an idea and they have an identity that they have gotten from someplace, but they didn't get it from who created them. And so we have to realize and understand that when we don't know why, we're also not going to accept our true identity as it relates to who we really are. And until we accept who we really are, church, we are not going to function properly, and we're not going to do what God has actually sent and created us to do, and we're actually not going to be able to accomplish His will. Now, I know that we'll be able to do a few things here and there, but just being able to do a few things here and there is not what God had in mind when He created you and I. Church, are we together? And so this thing is in fact important. This is in fact critical. This is in fact truly foundational. See, if we don't know who we are, if we don't know why we are, church, we don't know what we ought to be doing. And church, that is in fact foundational to life. It is in fact foundational to life. And so therefore, church, my intent for this series is that we would know our purpose. I want us to know what God had in mind for you when He created you. I want you to know what God had in mind for you when He created you. And my purpose for this series is to renew our minds and change our behavior. Church, our behavior is a reflection of the thoughts of our minds. Our behavior is a reflection of the beliefs of our minds. Our behavior is a reflection of our thoughts and our beliefs, those things that we have accepted as true. And whenever we want to change our behavior, church, oftentimes we focus on shooting at our behavior. But shooting at the behavior won't change our behavior. We have to first deal with the thoughts and the belief of our minds. And if we change the thoughts and belief of our minds, our behavior will in fact change. See, if you really truly want to stop any addiction, you just can't focus at what you're doing without dealing with what you're thinking and what you're believing. Because the body responds to the thoughts and the believing. Church, are we together? And so we can do all types of things, but never deal with our minds. And so therefore, church, we have to begin to deal with our minds, and we want to renew our minds. And as we begin to go through this process of renewing our minds, it's going to change our behavior. See, because before we came to know Christ, we were lost. Remember that? We were lost. We were lost. We were disconnected from God. And as we were disconnected from God, we were disconnected from the source of our knowledge of who we are. And so what happens is that we were, and why we are, and what we ought to do, and what was happening is that we begin to look around us. And as we begin to look around us in our environment, we begin to see certain things and see certain people, and we begin to mimic those things. We begin to mimic those things, but as we were mimicking those things were not necessarily connected to who created us. And so therefore we had some thoughts and some beliefs in our minds. And so we have to go through this process and get rid of some old thoughts and beliefs about ourselves. We have to go through and get rid of some old thoughts and beliefs about ourselves. That's why we're new creatures in Christ. When we accepted Christ, when we got reconnected to God, we became new creatures in Christ, and the scripture lets us know that old things passed away. And church, what happens is that we have to realize that there's some old things in our minds, there's some old thoughts and beliefs and some truths that have to pass away. They have to pass away. And what happens is that we have to step into the new things, and the new things are of God. And the new things that we're talking about is the truth as it relates to why we are, the truth about who we are, and what it is that God would in fact have us to do. And church, what happens to us over the course of our lives, we have never really stopped to take the necessary time to really focus on dealing with those old thoughts, dealing with those old beliefs. And whether we realize it or not, we're still hanging on to those old thoughts and old beliefs as it relates to why we're here and who we are and what we ought to in fact be doing. And church, until we know why we're here and what God will have us to do, church, we can never, ever truly find fulfillment and to be satisfied. And church, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, if we're truly truthful with ourselves, we're not really fulfilled and we're not really satisfied. See, we're looking to be effective. Now, I can preach and we can shout, but you'll leave out of here being unfulfilled and unsatisfied. Behavior being the same. Thoughts and beliefs being the same. And guess what happens is that our choices and decisions remain the same. But here's the thing about it. Church, we had to begin to go through this process and get our identity and our purpose and our plan and our value from He who has in fact created us. He who has in fact created us. And I have a fivefold objective. And in this fivefold objective, the first thing I wanted to do was to teach us that God knows us, or God knows you. And I wanted to teach us that God knows the times. He knows the time of our birth. He knows the course of our lives, and He knows the time of our death. He knows the seasons of our lives. He knew that we would, in fact, be in the earth during the midst of what we find happening around us. He also knew that we were going to be in the dispensation of grace, whereby we realize and understand that even as the world is waxing worse and worse, God gives us more and more grace to be able to live and to be and to do what He's called to be and created us to do. And also wanted to teach us why we're here, or why God made us. I wanted to teach us why God made us. I want to teach you why God made you. Then fourthly, I want to teach us to consecrate ourselves. I want to teach us to consecrate ourselves. And so when we get down to consecrating ourselves, church, we want to deal with the fact that we want to realize and understand that there's some things that we have to do to consecrate ourselves, to sanctify ourselves, to set ourselves apart to fulfill God's purpose. Because there's some things that we cannot take with us in order to fulfill God's purpose and His plans for our lives. There's some things that we cannot take with us, because there are some things that need to be cleaned up that ought not to be associated with who we really are. And so it's interesting that we're going to find ourselves dealing with that particular objective close to the process where we're going into Holy Week and looking forward to Resurrection Sunday. And so prayerfully that they will in fact coincide, so that we can go through the process of actually consecrating ourselves to be used for God's next move. Then lastly, I want to teach us the power to fulfill our purpose, the power to be who God created us to be, the power. Church, we can't do it out of our own human effort. Our academic preparation, it won't do it. It doesn't matter how big our muscles are. It doesn't matter how big our brain muscles are. We need a power that's greater. We need a power that's greater. We need a power that's greater to be who God has in fact created us to be. And my goal for this series is that we would change our priorities. And church, I know you're getting tired to hearing about changing our priorities. But church, we're going to have to change our priorities if we're going to be prepared for God's next move of God. Because our priorities are based on old information. The priorities of our lives are still based on an old life, an old creature that's now dead. Our priorities were set by an old creature that had no knowledge of why and who and what. And so we had to go through this process of changing our priorities, because here's the thing about priorities. Our priorities determine for us what's important. If we look at the priorities of our lives, where we spend most of our time, that determines what's important to us. But the things that are important to us are based on what was important to us in our old life. And I can't be prepared for the next move of God carrying forward old priorities. See, because if I'm doing the old stuff, I'm never going to be prepared for the new. I'm never going to be prepared for the new. See, if I'm still stuck in elementary school and I'm living my life as if I'm stuck in elementary school and my priorities are based on elementary school priorities, I'm not going to be prepared for college. Church, are we together? And so we have to deal with our priorities because our priorities determine where we spend our energy. It also determines where we spend our time in church. This is the thing about it is that, see, time is a precious commodity. See, we think gold is precious. See, and our wives think diamonds are precious. They sure are costly. But there's something more precious, and that's time. See, you can always buy another diamond. You can always get another ring. You can always get another something or another. But see, you can't always get time back. Time is precious. And our priorities dictate where we're spending our energy, applying our energy and our time. And we can be applying our energy and time on the wrong priorities. And it's those old priorities, church, that's keeping us from being prepared and finding fulfillment and changing and growing. Church, if we don't change our priorities, we're not going to change. We're not going to grow and mature. See, a man has different priorities as a man as opposed to when the man was just a little boy. But if a male hangs on to the old priorities, he'll never become a man. Church, are we together? And so we have to really begin to consider our priorities. And what happens in church is that there has to be some deep introspection that has to begin to take place. And we have to allow the Word of God to do what the Word of God has been designed to do. And that is, in fact, to cleanse our heart and to wash our minds. And so we have to be willing to receive the Word of God. The Word of God is, in fact, powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to get down to the root of our issues. And it's able to get down to the crux of the matter to bring about the change that God is in fact looking for. But if we never allow the Word of God to get down into that place, church, we're going to hang on to our old priorities, and what's going to happen is that the Word of God is going to be of none effect, and God's going to show up and he says, I'm ready to move, but we're not ready and we're not available and we're not equipped for God to move. And so therefore, church, knowing why we're here is key to our fulfillment. It's key to life, and it's key to change. So let's go to Mark chapter number 4. I know I didn't read Acts 17, but that's okay. You all wrote it down. And you all are familiar with Acts chapter number 17, but let's go to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4, let's begin reading in verse number 10. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 10, here we find Jesus. He's teaching folks many different things. And he had been teaching this particular group of folks a parable. A parable is a natural example from which to draw spiritual meaning. It's a natural example from which we can draw spiritual meaning. But the thing about it is that if our eyes are not truly open, all we will see is the natural example and we'll never get the spiritual meaning. So what I want to do this morning in Mark chapter number 4, I want us to look at this parable of the sower, and we are familiar with the parable of the sower. But I want us to look at the parable of the sower from a very different vantage point. We're going to hone in a couple of verses of scripture in this particular parable. And I believe that it speaks to us right now this morning as a church as to where we are. And here in Mark chapter number 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 10. This is after Jesus had given the parable and there was a bunch of folk around and folks didn't really understand what Jesus was talking about and those types of things. They got the natural example, but they were trying to, you know, figure some things out. But here in verse number 10, And when Jesus was alone, his disciples came up to him and asked him about the parable that Jesus had just shared. And then in verse number 11, and Jesus said unto them, unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Church, this is in fact, what we're going to look at is a key. It's a secret, if you will. And it's a key and a secret, if you will, as it relates to understanding why God made you. And coming to that knowledge. He says, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And he says, disciples, it's for you to know this mystery, these mysteries. It's to you to know this key. But see, for those that are outside, for those that are unsaved, see, they don't know this key. See, that's why one of the reasons why when we're unsaved, we can never ever find our purpose. See, we can go to a bookstore and we can pick up a book and we can read it, but we're never really going to truly find our purpose, why God has actually made us. Why? Because we don't have access to the key. Are we together? But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive. See, their eyes were open and their ears were open, but see, they couldn't see, nor could they hear, nor could they understand. Lest at any time they should be converted. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? He said, now the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Church, we're dealing with why God made us. See, we're dealing with the fact that God has made us and not we ourselves. See, we are dealing with that God has made us for his purpose. And so what happens is that God is in fact speaking. And God is, in fact, opening some things up. See, our eyes may be open and our ears may be open, but we're not seeing nor understanding. Church, are we together? And I'm going to get down why it's hard to see it and to receive it and understand it. Okay, but we're going to keep going. And they said, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. But what happens is that there's no root in themselves, and so endure before time and afterwards. See, when things get tough, things get tight, when you try to obey the word of God, immediately they are offended. You see, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. And these are they which are, when the word is sown among thorns, such as hear the word. See, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and snuff the word out, and the word becomes unfruitful. Church, are we there together? And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Church, here's the thing. The Lord is opening this up to us. He says, now the key to success with me is in the heart. It's the condition of the heart. It's the condition of the heart. And church, here's the thing about this. The heart can become a problem in being able to receive who God has created us to be and accept who we are and do what he would have us to do. Because that's the progression. When we're able to settle in our hearts why we are, we can accept who we are, and then once we accept who we are, it begins to drive what we do. And when there's a challenge with what we ought to do and doing it, is because we have to back up because there's something that has broken down as it relates to the why and who. There's something that we can't accept who if I haven't accepted why. But if I accept why, I can accept who I am. And so, therefore, when we get down to the do, then the do just falls in place. See, because God does out of who he is. And he has created you and I to work according to the same way. Come on now. When you believe that who you are is a show enough singer, that's what you do. Even if we can't sing or not. Y'all not with me. Have you ever run across folks, they just truly believe in their heart that they are in fact a singer, and that's what they do. And you can't tell them otherwise. Well, see, that's what God wants us to do. He says, I want you to believe why you are, and I want you to believe who you are, so when it gets down to the do, nobody will be able to convince you differently. Are we together? This is good stuff, church. But here's the thing. But we have to believe in our hearts. We have to believe in our hearts. But here's the issue with our being able to believe. The issue with being able to believe is this. Church, we're being distracted by the cares of this world. We're being distracted by the cares of this world. See, we're being concerned and we're worrying about what we shall eat, what we shall wear, whether or not we have a roof over our heads. And what's happening is that we're looking for the pleasures of this world. We're looking for the riches. But Jesus is telling us that those pleasures or riches are deceiving you. See, I'm anxious. See, I'm anxious about what's happening in my life. And I come to church being anxious about what's happening in my life. And what's really going on is my mind is concerned about the money. My mind is concerned about the cares of this world. My mind is concerned about stuff and things. And as my mind is concerned about those things, what's happening in my heart is that the word is coming into my heart. But what's happening is that all of those cares and that anxiety is snuffing out the word. Because what's really rooted in my heart is the cares of this world, the things of this world, and the riches of this world. Success with God begins in the heart. And Jesus is letting us know is that if we can deal with our hearts and to allow his word to settle properly in our hearts, it'll change our lives. It'll change our lives. See, that's why we're being challenged with being able to change the priorities of our lives. Because even in the midst of knowing that we have to change our priorities, I'm afraid to change my priorities because I'm anxious. I have anxiety. What I should wear, what I should eat, and whether or not there's going to be a roof over my head. And so I'm going after the riches. I'm going after the stuff and the things. Because I believe in my heart if I can get enough of these riches, and these riches have promised me, that they're able to do what they can, in fact, not promise. But it's just rooted in my heart. I've got to have these riches. And so what happens is that anything that conflicts with me trying to get these riches, I have to move the thing that's conflicting with me getting these riches down the priority list. But the issue is that we're moving Jesus down the priority list. Church, are we together? And so therefore, church, where it's distracting, what's happening is that our priorities are off. And so we're putting our energy into other things rather than the things that will actually bring about change in our situation. Church, I want to submit to you that once we accept Jesus Christ, we are no longer citizens of this world. We step into the kingdom. And Jesus wants us to know that there's another way to live in the kingdom. We're citizens of the kingdom, so now we have to operate according to this kingdom rules and guidelines. And in the kingdom rules and guidelines, church, we have to realize and understand. That's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all those other things that you've been worried about, guess what? They'll be added to you. But church, it's hard for us to receive that. It's hard for us to receive that. It's hard for us to receive that because what's deeply rooted in our hearts is the anxiety and the care for things that's actually choking out the very answer that we need. Are we yet together, church? And when we find ourselves in that situation, church, you know what we do? We come up with our own plans for our lives. We come up with our own plans for our lives, our own answers to our questions, our own solutions to our problems. And what begins to happen is that we have gravitated towards natural success being the purpose of our lives. And that purpose that we have rooted in our hearts as it relates to natural success is competing against the true purpose of our lives. But our fulfillment and our satisfaction and our joy doesn't come from natural success. It comes from fulfilling the very reason for which God created us. And church, whether we realize it or not, we're going to prayerfully, we'll see it this morning, but the answer that we're searching for is not in the stuff and things. The answer that we're searching for is actually in Christ. Are we together? And if we can find Christ, we can deal with all the other things. And so therefore, church, what we want to do this morning, I want to jump right back into why God made you or why God made us. And let's go to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. And so we want to deal with why God made you or why God made us. And here's the thing. God has a reason for everything that he does. God has a reason for everything that he does. He has a reason for everything that he does. And that includes making you and I. And so therefore, the only way that we can find fulfillment in life is to discover why we're here and to fulfill it. That's the only way that we can find fulfillment. We have to find out why we're here and to fulfill it. But we're dealing with it, why we're dealing with this question why. And there's a short answer. The short answer is love. The short answer is love. And the reason that the love is the answer is because God is love. See, it's because God is love. See, he is love, and who he is dictates what he does. And so love dictated making you and I. Love dictated God making you. Love dictated God making you. This is deep. See, but see, the answer as to why God made you is because of his love. That's who he is. And because of who he is, he does out of who he is. You're here because of God's love. We're here because of God's love. That's the answer. Because here's the thing. We have to realize and understand that each and every one of us was in a father's heart. Was in a father's heart. But we had to begin to really hone in on this. See, throughout the scripture, we find God the Father. We find God the Father, and the Father has a heart. But he can't be a father without a family. He can't be God the Father if there's no family. He can't be who he is if there's no family. Church, are we together? So the reason that God made us is because he has a desire for a family. And so what that means is point number one, he made us for relationship with him. That's purpose. We're made for a relationship with him. No, I've been made to be rich and famous. No, you've been made for a relationship with God. I've been made to live in Buckhead in a gated community. I got an 8-car garage. I got 5 Bentleys, 2 Jaguars, and a Ferrari, and something I don't even know what it is. No, you've been made for a relationship with God. But what happens is that when we are disconnected from God, we'll create a purpose. And we'll start chasing that as being our purpose. And we have looked at success, and we have seen success is highly admirable, and I ought to have it. And that has become our purpose in life. And so I'm chasing after natural success as my purpose, my very reason for being, and I'm throwing everything into it. And the Lord said, no, that's not why you're here. You're here, and you have been made for a relationship with me. See, because you were in my heart and mind when I was at the end. See, I started with what I wanted. And I began to make you and to finish you. I knew exactly who you ought to be. I knew exactly what gifts, talents, and abilities that you ought to have. I knew exactly what you ought to be. Because you're in my heart. And then when I finished you, I came back to the beginning. And I started you on your birthday in the earth. And I laid out the course that I would have you to go. But you've been made for me. Church, are we together? Church, we're here for the purpose of relationship. In order to be a father, you have to have a family. And our Heavenly Father wanted a family that he could share life with. See, that's why he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. See, that's why he wants us to acknowledge him in all of our ways. I know what you're going through. I know what you feel because you're in my heart. You're my child, and I created you to have a relationship with me. Church, are we together? Can you imagine why he sent Jesus? Now you begin to understand the parable of the lost coin. The parable of the lost sheep. Now you begin to understand in Luke 19:10 when he was talking about Zacchaeus, who Zacchaeus was. You can't lose something that you never had. If you never had it, you can't, listen, it can't be lost if it didn't ever belong to you. I can't come to your house and say, well, I found my house. I can't go out in the parking lot and look at your nice, clean car and say, oh, I found my car. It was lost, but now it's found. He came to seek and to save and to restore that which was lost. Who? His children. His children who had chosen another father because they didn't know me because nobody told them that there's another father. And so therefore they had an intermediary acting as a father who didn't have their best interests at heart that were ultimately trying to kill them, but they didn't know any better. But perchance, somebody came along that loved them enough that gave them their good news that there is, in fact, another father, your true father. Church, are we together? And church, what that means to us is that we are the object of his love. Your purpose is to be the object of his love. When we talked about the object of his love, we know that, see, love has to have an object. And the object can't be a thing. You know why an object can't be a thing? Because a thing can't love you back. But see, the Lord wanted someone that could love him back. It's relationship. It's relationship. He wanted someone he can love and someone that would love him in return. See, that's why the scripture says in 1 John chapter number 4 that he first loved us by sending Jesus. Then it goes on and lets us know that now, so now what happens is that we now allow love him because he first loved us, because our love for him is in response to him first loving us. Amen. And the way that we demonstrate our love for him is by keeping his commandments. Why? Because he's our Father. Because keeping his commandments demonstrates our love, and keeping his commandments, guess what, church? It pleases him. It pleases him. But when I have a different purpose and a different plan, see, I'm trying to make the Father come in agreement with my purpose and my plan. And we don't love him. And truth be told, we're not experiencing the fullness of his love. Because the Bible says that the way that we continue in his love is by keeping his commandments. See, the more that we love him by keeping his commandments, the more love he begins to pour in our hearts. And then we begin to love him more, and guess what? He loves us more, and we love him more, and he loves us more, and we love him more, and he loves us more. And therefore, when the scripture comes down there, what can separate us from the love of God? Can peril, can it separate me from my Father loving me? Church, are we together? And church, what this means for us is this, is that we have been created to be the object of his love. Why? Because love has to have an object. He can't be loved if there's no one to love. And that which he loves has to return the love. And the way that we return his love is by keeping his commandments. And when we keep his commandments, what we receive is more of his love. We learned in Tuesday night Bible study, love is about giving and receiving. It's about sowing and reaping. Where there's a giving of love, there's going to be a reciprocation of it. When God loves us, we turn around and love him. And he loves us, we turn around and love him. He loves me more, and we love him more. And all the while, we're keeping his commandments. It pleases him. It pleases him. What that says for this is, church, we cannot find fulfillment in things. Fulfillment is not in things, it's in the relationship. Fulfillment is not in things. Fulfillment is in the relationship. Church, that's why we have to run. See, that's why he wants us to run to him. That's also why he wants us to love him first. That's also why we have to change our priorities, because he's saying you can't find fulfillment in all the other stuff that you're trying to do. There's no fulfillment and there's no satisfaction in it. It can only be found in me. And church, it's counterintuitive, because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We believe that what we ought to do is trying to do what we want and elicit his help. And the Lord has said, no, come to me. Run to me. Run to me. That doesn't make any sense, Pastor. I know, because we're hanging on to old data and old beliefs. We're running to the same old things, looking for satisfaction and looking for fulfillment, and it's not there. He says, come to me. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm life. That stuff and thing provides no life. He says, I'm life. The car doesn't provide satisfaction. It cannot provide you love. It doesn't love you back. It'll put you down when it gets tired and worn out. Maintenance required light comes on. And I believe they just put that there so that they could keep you coming into the dealer to make more money. I firmly believe that. No, I just do. I just firmly believe it. But church, are we together? Fulfillment is in the relationship. Because what? Because he has a desire to fellowship with someone like himself. That's why he created us in his image and in his likeness. That's what Genesis chapter number 1 says, that we have. He says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let us make man like us. Let us make man to have the same character and divine nature. See, so that we can have this fellowship. See, we need. See, I need someone like me to have fellowship with. See, someone that will have my similar character and similar nature. I need someone that's able to love me back. And so, because I want to have fellowship, I want to have this communion, I want to have this intimacy, but see, I can't do it with a horse. I can't do it with a cow. I can't do it with a dog. I need somebody like me that can love me back. I need someone like me. Church, that's part of our purpose, is that we ought to have his character and his divine nature. Do we have his character and divine nature? Do we have his goodness, his godliness, his patience, his temperance? Are we love? Are we love? Church, are we together? He wants us to be like him on the inside. See, on the outside, all of us are different. Even if you may be twins or triplets and all those types of things, on the inside, you're different on the outside as well. But you definitely, he said, no, you have to have my character, divine nature on the inside. He wants us to be the same on the inside. That's why he put his spirit in us. Not only to reconfirm to us that we are his child, but also that we might have his character, his divine nature, and that we would, in fact, act like him and be like him. Church, he also wants us to understand that we've been made for him. You've been made for him. We're his children. Church, that's why we're never, ever going to be satisfied until we love him with all of our heart. You know why? Because we've been made for him. See, you can't put a round peg in a square hole, or a square peg in a round hole. It wasn't made for it. See, you weren't made to try to marry stuff and things. You weren't made to try to have fellowship with stuff, houses, car, and land and money. You weren't made for that. We were made for him. And so until we realize that we were made for him, that's why we can never ever find fulfillment and satisfaction in anything else. We were made for him. That's why marriages don't work as long as you're trying to beat up each other. It doesn't work. You got to go to the one for whom you have truly been made for. Because you can find fulfillment and satisfaction to deal with the other imperfect person. Come on, church. Are we together? See, when I go to the one that I'm made for, I'm having this communion and this fellowship. See, I can come out of this fellowship with a heart full of joy. And my joy is not dependent upon the action of another person. Lose your mind if you want. It doesn't stop my joy. See, because I can get my joy 24/7. See, it doesn't matter if they're asleep. But see, the one who I'm made for never sleeps nor slumbers. Are we together, church? And so we're looking for something from somebody that was not made for us to provide what we're trying to get from them. I don't care what the marriage counselor is trying to tell you. They don't know the truth. Now, why would I send you to get a counterfeit when I can give you access to the real thing? I'm going to send you to a library to buy a book. No, I'm going to introduce you to the real thing. Church, are we yet together? And that's why he wants us to approach him as a father. Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. He says, come to me as a father. You're my child. Come to me as a father. But the challenge is that we're looking for fulfillment externally. It'll never happen in an external thing. And then he also wants us to enter into a working relationship with him as it relates to the family business. That's why we read in Genesis chapter number 1, he wants us to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. We know what he's talking about, the family business. We have been made for the family business. That's part of our purpose, that we have been made for the family business. But see, if we don't know the family business, we can't fulfill the purpose. We can acquire all types of stuff and things and academic achievements and all those types of things, and that's great and that's good, and God wants to use those in the family business. But don't think what you have acquired is the purpose. It's a tool to carry out the purpose. And part of that purpose is the family business. And part of the family business is, guess what, to be productive. See, cause your life to be productive. And then what happens, raise the productivity of other people, those that are around you. And then also what happens, you know what you do? You replenish. You know what that means? Add to the family. Add to the family, because, see, there's some folks that are, they're still lost. I need you to go get them and bring them into the family. Church, that's why I keep saying our love has to be without dissimulation. We just can't love the people that are in our house, because that's not the extent of the family, nor is it your purpose. You may start in your house, but don't assume that just because you're in your house that you have fulfilled the purpose. And we have been made for this purpose. Are we yet together, church? You're not getting weak on me, are you? The reason for why we're here, relationship. The object of God's love is fellowship, and to enter into a working relationship with him in the family business. See, the whole idea behind this is that God will work in heaven. You and I be working in the earth, and in the cool of the day, there will be this fellowship. But the work that God is looking for is not the work where we're just stacking, we're just building our stacks. No, the work that he's looking for is the fruit that he's looking for. And he lets us know that the works that I have for you to do have been established before you came. I established these works before you came. And church, that's what being fruitful and productive is. And if we're not impacting other people's lives and elevating their fruitfulness and their productivity, and if we're not adding to the family, church, we're not fulfilling the purpose. And there's fulfillment and satisfaction in fulfilling the purpose. And you can ask anyone that leads people to Christ, they know that there's no other feeling that you can experience. And there's no other high that you can have. And what you feel when you lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, adding them to the family, what you know what you're experiencing? Fulfillment and satisfaction. You know what a teacher is feeling when the people that they're teaching receives it? You know what happens when people receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit and there's a teacher that's teaching? You know what you're experiencing? You're experiencing fulfillment and satisfaction. When you watch people walk through the doors and their lives have changed over the course of the years, you know what happens? You know what happens when a teacher, what they fulfill, what they experience? They experience fulfillment and satisfaction. You know what happens when you serve somebody and you serve somebody so well that they begin to cry? You know what you begin to experience? Fulfillment and satisfaction. Because you're being productive and you're raising their productivity and you're adding to the family. Are we yet together, church? But here's the thing about it. We have to be careful, because what's on the horizon right now is that they want to take out gender in the Bible. They want to go to gender neutral. And this is all part of the woman's movement. And so what's happening is that people are joining a women's movement, but they don't know what's happening behind the scenes. It's an attack on God. See, because once you begin to go to gender neutral, guess what? There's no more father. See, there's no more father. And so when you get rid of father, you're trying to get rid of God. And what happened is that you're destroying the purpose of man. And it's creeping into the church. So now you can go to church. They're not praying to the Father. They're praying to a holy mother. Destroying your purpose. And you believe that your purpose is being able to have access to the penthouse office. The deception of riches. Church, are we together? And once they begin to do that, they can also change your identity as a woman. Because woman must have a relationship with man or to man. She's a wound man. But once I get rid of man, it's hard for you to identify who you really are. And I can give you a new identity. Woman was made for man. That's what the scripture says. And I can tell you that woman was made for woman. Church, are we together? It's about a father that wants a family. Your purpose is about relationship. And it's about our becoming a child that he always intended and purposed in his heart and our minds for us to be and to be about our family's business, to be about our father's business. Church is all about love. It's just that simple. You don't need to go to the library and buy a book because they'll never tell you this. I don't care how thick the book is. No, you've been made for a relationship. And if you fulfill the relationship, you'll find fulfillment and satisfaction. Because without Jesus, life has no meaning. That's what Solomon was telling us. He said, I've got all the riches, I've got all these women, I've got all this stuff, and I'm telling you now, it's all meaningless. The whole duty of man is to fear God and obey his commandments. Why? Father, we have been made for relationship. And that's where our fulfillment and our satisfaction is. Because we have to think about something. If it's not in Jesus, if it's not in the relationship and it's in stuff and things, we'll start to let go of the relationship. And for many of us, we have let go of the relationship because we have clamped on to a different purpose, different identity, different value, and we let go of him. And church, that's why we can't let go of the Word of God. Because the Word of God represents his heart and his mind towards his child, his family. And so if I put this on the side and I move this down to the bottom of the priority list, I've moved the relationship to the bottom of the priority list. Because I can't hear from him. I can't know him. We can't have fellowship. Church, are we together? And over the course of time, my heart becomes hard. And there's no place in my heart. Because what's happening, what I thought would provide me relief, fulfillment, and satisfaction in the midst of my issues has not. And my answer is to try to get more, and I'm trying to get more. I'm trying to get more, but I put the relationship at the bottom of the list, and the relationship is the most important thing that the Lord wants us to realize that we need. And that's why Jesus says, you have to love me more than anyone else, because they can't provide for you what I can provide for you. Are we together, church? Well, church, my time is up this morning, and I want to thank you for yours. Yeah. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those that are listening via the CD and on the internet, I just want to share with you this morning, just in the brief moment that we have been able to share the word of God, I believe that there are those that are listening, and you have come to the realization and the understanding that you have been made by God, and God has a reason as to why he made you. There is, in fact, a purpose for your life, and your fulfillment and satisfaction can only be attained by knowing that purpose, fulfilling that purpose, accepting who God created you to be and doing what he asked you to do. And if you know that, as you have been listening, that this message has spoken to your heart, and we want you to know that the Lord has just, he has a heart for you. And he wants you to just call upon his name. Just call upon the name of Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart and to save you and to restore you to a right relationship with your true Heavenly Father. We're praying for you right now at this moment. And in our desire, that right where you are, that you would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you would do it, exactly that, he'll come into your heart to change you and to turn your life around. We love you. We're praying for you. It is our desire that you would join us once again. Amen.